Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klefeld, and this is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. The background music you hear is a mix from DJ Frank Wild, my guest tonight. Hey, Frank, what's going on?
Hey, Nate.
I'm not the music on in the background. You're used to that, right?
More often than not, music's going on in the background.
Well, I figured it's my first DJ show. I've had dozens of authors and filmmakers and fun people like that. You're my first DJ.
Well, I appreciate you inviting me to be on the show, and I'm honored to be the first DJ. Thank you,
Mr. Virgin DJ. Okay, here's the first question. How did you get started in this this job?
It started about 14 years ago as a hobby. I bought my first set of turntables around 14 years ago just because I love dance music. My whole life I collected it, first vinyl and then CDs, and just decided to do it as a hobby and kept at it. Started to make CDs. And send them around to different friends and just to get people's opinions of what they thought. And probably about 9-10 years ago, I took the leap of faith and sent a couple of CDs to some local small San Francisco club. And actually, I sent 4 CDs out, and I heard back from 2 of the clubs, and I started working for them. I was working at a, quote, regular day job at that time and would moonlight as a DJ on Thursday nights and weekends. And before you knew it, other promoters started noticing me. I started getting more high-profile gigs, and it sort of blossomed into a career. Never really intending that at the get-go. But certainly pleased that I'm sitting here now talking to you about it, you know, with this lengthy resume of gigs under my belt.
For the listeners out there that don't know, Frank is based in San Francisco, but also has a home in Berlin where he spends part of the year. He's also, if you look at his website, djfrankwild.com, I'll be doing commercials for you all through the interview.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You'll see that he's in Madrid in July. You are all over. I mean, I can't even keep up with it. We'll go into those things later, but I do have a good question. My first question came up. When did DJs move from being in the background to the superstar foreground, the big names, which you are one of them? You know, your name comes up first with all the big names.
Go
ahead.
It's been over the course of time, I have to say. It's certainly not recent. I'd say in maybe the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly in the 80s, it wasn't as strongly DJ-oriented as it was in the 90s. But there are always places where you could find, you know, top-named DJs, particularly in Europe, where maybe raves were born there. And I don't know if you're familiar with Ibiza, Spain. That was always sort of a mecca for DJs and clubbing. And it's just started moving on to the international scene. It might just be, I never really thought about it because of the internet and people being more aware of things going on in other countries and the ability, you know, to fly around much easier. So it's sort of a number of factors, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I think things like the iPod and the internet and downloading music, people can communicate with music so much faster. Did you hear this? Did you hear that mix? Did you hear this mix? Well, let me say it to you. Oh, look, and you know, you're always, it seems to me like music today, I don't know about the business. I hear all these crazy stories about the music business being dead or live or whatever. It seems to me like music is a big part of people's lives, no matter what age you are, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. You are always talking to people about music. You've got the earphones in your head. What are you listening to? Things like that. Do you find that true?
I find that true. I mean, at least from my own self, it was always a passion for me to have music in my life. As a teen, I was, you know, a typical, you know, rock band follower. And then after going to a few clubs in New York City in my early 20s, I quickly switched gears from rock to full-on dance and house music and never looked back. You know, everyone's got their favorite style of music, and people are dedicated to it, and people really know what they're talking about music-wise these days. I think there's a lot of information out there, and you can belong to different blogs and websites and really get a lot of information on your favorite DJs or recording artists very easily.
The critics, the music critics, call you like the best tribal music DJ around. Explain to this listener what tribal music is.
Well, tribal music comes out as sort of as it sounds. It has a really strong drum and percussion aspect to it. Definitely hip-shaking music, not the kind of music you can just stand around and listen to. It has a little bit of a darker, deeper side to it, just to sort of explain it in non-musical terms. A lot of it comes out of Latin rhythm. So there's this aspect of it that's very addictive, which is what I like. And it really gets people going. I'm naturally inclined to that music. So my theory has always been, never play a song you don't like. And I'm always finding songs in the tribal category that I love to dance to, so I just see it as that's what the people in the club would like to hear as well.
And there is something about the group, like, not chanting, but moving together to tribal music. I'm not an old club queen. I'm a young club queen. No, I'm an old club queen. And I really enjoy it. I really get into, like, I'm sure you've heard this, the out-of-body experience, the mystical experience that only tribal music seems to do for me. I think there is something we're wired to somehow dance together, chant together. In religions, people dance. I mean, many times if you turn off the sound and look at a group of people dancing, they kind of look like, you know, an Indian dance or an African tribal dance. It really is the same.
Oh, sure. I mean, a lot of cultures, you know, are based around, their ceremonies are based around dance. And for sure, a night at a club can capture that same that same thing. So
better than drugs for me.
Yeah.
Okay. You said you lived in Berlin and San Francisco. Tell me the difference about the club scene in Berlin and San Francisco.
That's a good question, and people are always asking me that. They are quite different, or you could even go just a little bit step further, the club scene in Europe versus the U.S. Not to put the U.S. down, but I find the club goers in Europe, Berlin, or wherever, are a little more forward in the way they see clubbing and music. They're a little more open-minded to hear new things and not really into hearing much that you would consider commercial or radio play songs.
Uh-huh.
Whereas in the U.S., the tendency seems to be, at least for a majority, at least of the gay clubs, a lot of it is top 40 based. That's not really my niche. So when I do play at clubs that are more like that, I really try and dig deep and find really interesting mixes or remixes of current popular tracks. But that's, I'd say, is the main difference between the two. And actually, I've had people, not knowing I'm a DJ, have this conversation with me and would remark, you know, very, very bluntly, that they felt the music scene in general in Europe is a few steps ahead, at least, you know, in the U.S.
It's funny, I had a filmmaker on the other day, a film critic, excuse me, the Miami Herald film critic, and it's almost the same. People in the United States want the same. They want sequels. And people in Europe, the film is always the cutting edge, you know, the foreign film, the independent films, all started there. So it's funny that the music scene and the film scene between the United States and Europe and Germany are about the same.
Well, I think it comes out of a lot of cultural things. Even we look to Europe a lot for our fashion, for our food, for,
right,
you know, a lot of things we are inspired by, at least in the U.S. So that's sort of been an interesting challenge for me when I play in the U.S. Is kind of how do I incorporate that sound I play frequently in Berlin or throughout Europe and kind of transform it here, still keeping it unique sounding, but kind of reshaping it just slightly to the American audience. So mm-hmm. I just have to interject a few more recognizable songs, but just, you know, still maintaining the sound, the basic, you know, intention I was trying to get across with the sound, but maybe just making a little bit more mainstream or commercial.
Speaking of gauging and your music, how do you gauge a crowd? How, when you're in a crowd, you've got what you think is the greatest thing, but nobody's dancing. How do you gauge a crowd? Who do you look for? Do you look for certain people? Do you look for, you know, certain moods, people? How do you gauge the crowd? Because I know you change.
Yeah,
that's
a hard one because each crowd is different and each party is different. If you play after hours, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's a very different crowd than if you're playing, say, a tea dance. How do you gauge the crowd? I mean, it's there's so many factors. It's hard to just say that there's one thing. I don't know. You just have to kind of you start one course and you hope to keep it going in that direction, and then I always have a sort of an idea in mind of how I'm going to plan the night musically, but after a few songs that don't seem to be going in the right direction, you just have to try something different.
Right, that's the art of being a DJ. That's not, you're not just pushing buttons and being electronically. I mean, you're looking at the mood, the sound, how many people are talking, drinking, you know, doing certain things, sure.
Right, but also at the same time, I try and keep as close to course as possible because for me, I put a lot of preparation in before I get to a gig, especially mm-hmm. larger gigs. And if the people are there to hear you and what you're trying to get across, musically, you know, there's definitely, I want them to come away or dance the night away with something that's really representative of me versus just playing like the popular song of the moment.
Right, right.
So I definitely try, even if I have to change course, you know, just to, first of all, I never put a song in my DJ book that I don't like.
Right.
That's key. So if I have to change, make it a little lighter or darker or a little more upbeat or a little more downbeat. I mean, a lot of that comes with experience of, like, you know, what time of night you're playing and just a lot of factors.
Okay. Here, I'm getting three questions from the chat room. Some people don't want to talk tonight. What's the best venue you have ever played?
Wow, that's a really good question. They're so varied.
Uh-huh.
I have to say that is another difference between Europe and the U.S. For whatever reason, I don't know if it's just local regulations or what, but in Berlin I've played at some remarkable, unusual venues, like a deserted electrical factory, an old high school. You don't find that here in the U.S. So there's that unique factor that really adds ambiance to a night of dancing.
Right.
When I DJed at that Electrical Factory, it was literally like stepping into a movie set with gears hanging and, you know, broken glass and the lighting going through the windows. I mean, it was just amazing. Here in San Francisco, there are a number of great clubs. I have the honor of playing quite regularly at one of the oldest clubs in San Francisco called the End Up.
Uh-huh. I've heard of it.
It's been around 35-plus years. It's open every weekend, almost continuously through from Friday till Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets a very music-savvy crowd, no matter what time you play there. And for me, just because of the history of the club and the amount of great DJs that have played there in the past, it certainly is a special place.
Cool.
So there's uniqueness to each venue, but definitely Europe has, you know, a wide variety of venues available, particularly in Berlin.
Right. My partner and I were in Israel during Purim, which is a Jewish holiday, and we went to a big gay bash at an old abandoned, I believe it was like a textile factory, where these giant rolls in the ceiling, you know, I guess they rolled the fabric up, and it really was gonna be, and big fans, gigantic, like 14-foot fans going, you know, like it, which looked like an MTV set almost, but it wasn't. We were in a dark, dank, gigantic factory that they brought lights and generators, and I guess it had no, and it was amazing, but maybe our zoning laws or something, or the neighbors would complain here, but
something. And then there are, you know, events I've done that are not in clubs that have been, you know, just amazing as well, like playing at San Francisco Pride at the footsteps of our city hall, or playing on a truck in Berlin's Christopher Street Day, you know, gay pride parade, going through the streets of Berlin and passing all the monuments. And I mean, it's not a quote club venue, but boy, that was extra special.
I'm sure it was. It sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the architecture in Berlin. Okay. So what type of music do you like personally? What's on your iPod? What's in your earphones when you're relaxing, when you're not, we're not shaking the music?
Totally. You would never guess. And in fact, I was sitting on a bus next to a friend about a week ago, and I asked him, I'd give you $100 if you can guess what I'm listening to. And Nate, can you guess for $100 what I was listening to?
I hope it's not Lady Gaga Born That Way.
It was the best of the Mamas and the Papas.
Oh my God, I love that one. I've got the album.
When I'm not getting ready for a gig or I'm not rehearsing, I totally listen to, I have all the Glee tracks. I have the best of the Carpenters.
Great.
Totally the opposite on my iPod.
Great. I love that. You've made my day. You really made my day. I love hearing stuff like that because it's so true. I've heard that from many people that they just have the whole opposite. They just blank out. That is great. Listen, go ahead. I was going to give you
And one thing I try to do, which is not always doable, but after like a weekend of you know, DJing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I try and take a quiet day, make Monday be my quiet, no music day, just to sort of to refresh myself. So,
like meditate and drink tea and hug trees?
You know, there's a lot of administrative stuff that goes with this. Doing this, and I try and just do either paperwork or networking or just even just take a totally down day, and it sort of refreshes me for the next, you know, go round of gigs.
Okay. While you were this is another question from the chat room. What was the most embarrassing moment you have ever had DJing?
I'd have to say when the equipment stops. I've had, in the course of 9 years of DJing, I've only turned the music off twice myself, which is pretty easy to do, touching the wrong button. But I've been in a few clubs, and it can happen. You know, the equipment is machines like anything else, and they run quite frequently. And you know, what I've learned, though, through experience, is I always bring a mixed CD with me,
uh-huh,
just in case,
right,
one of the players or the mixer breaks down and I have to throw something in to keep the crowd going while the sound or sound engineer or the manager fixes what's going on. But, yeah, that's the worst, is when you've got the crowd going and boom, nothing. Yeah. So I've learned not to be as embarrassed as I was the first few times it happened. And luckily, knock on wood, it's only happened a few times. But, yeah, that's pretty embarrassing.
I can imagine. I can imagine. You mentioned turntables and, you know, the technology of DJing changed dramatically. Are you still using turntables?
I use CD turntables.
Uh-huh.
I use Pioneer 1000s, which are sort of the mainstay of most clubs these days. They're great. They allow you a lot of flexibility in your mixing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of guys have switched to being laptop DJs.
Right.
Not the ones who are using mixing programs, but they're people who use their laptops as digital file storage.
Right.
And I could see myself moving into that one day. You still mix via the CD players, but the laptop just functions as a storage device, and then the tracks are fed into each player.
Right.
But
right.
Pioneer Electronics, who are, you know, one of the top DJ brands, they've just come up with CD players where you can bring a memory stick.
Oh.
And it uploads, I forget how many gigabytes of tracks into each player,
mm-hmm,
which will be great. Not many clubs have them yet, but I think that's the way it's going to go. So it went from traveling with crates of vinyl, which was crazy. I don't know how DJs did it. And now I travel with two or three large books of CDs per gig. And you can imagine there's 10 or 12 songs
right
on each CD times, you know, 60 CDs a book. So, you know, you've got a ton of music with you. And I think it's going to progress where now you're going to bring a memory card or a memory stick and upload all your tracks.
I'm sure that's going to happen. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. I mean, I do mention that I'm with the Stonewall National Museum and Archive, and you know, we're digitizing, you know, our historical archive, and it's like all these boxes are turning into this tiny little nothing box because we're now in solid state cloud. You know, that could be your next one after the stick, is that you store it on a cloud and download it from the internet as it's happening.
As it's happening, yeah. I mean, it's quite cumbersome to change everything over. I mean, I have everything on backup on a hard drive, so I could easily dump it onto a stick. But at the moment, I'm pretty pleased with the CD technology.
Yeah. Now, has all the you know, you've been through the big change with the computers and the laptops, and now we're going to get going with other stuff. Do you think it's making it easier or harder to be a DJ?
Well, I think there are certainly people who think that because they have a laptop with a mixing program and can can throw together our DJs, and you know, there are instances where that's okay. But there's a lot more to it than just than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Right, and you can tell.
And that level, or what you just described, really hasn't. You wouldn't see that in any of the large parties or venues. I mean, it's more in bars and smaller clubs.
Right.
So it's great. People want to express themselves through music, and you know, that's fantastic. But you know, it takes a lot of experience. At least I found.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone I know who's doing this professionally has certainly have quite a few years under their belt.
Cool.
Yeah,
no, that's true, and I can always tell the difference when you know, I walk in and I hear the music playing and I can hear what's going on, and then I look up at the where the DJ is and I see, you know, a laptop, And I'm going, oh, right. Okay, you know, this is not going to be that much fun. And it isn't, but it's okay. But, you know, things are changing so rapidly that...
Well, the important thing for each DJ, and it is doable, is to really find your own sound. I mean, there are thousands of tracks released, many thousands of tracks released on tons of labels and websites every week. You can't go through all of them. And within that, you can find music that maybe not that many other people are playing, but it is fantastic. And, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort to do all that. But if you can establish your own sound, it's what really sets DJs apart from each other.
I can tell your sound. I can always tell your sound. Not always.
Well, thank you. And it takes a while to get to that point. And that's where I think maybe some people who are just playing around with the laptop might not get there, but you know, it's fine for them. So
okay, so what where are you going next? Where are your bags packed, and
My next, I'm going to Washington DC next weekend for DC Leather Pride.
Oh, right.
Which I've been to DC twice to spin, and the promoters who I've worked with before are now doing a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday party during DC Leather Pride, and I am doing the Friday and the Sunday party. So that's great.
Great.
After that, I will be back in San Francisco for San Francisco Pride, and I've been asked back to spin the Pride Festival on the footsteps of our City Hall, so that's going to be fantastic.
Very cool. That would be like the coolest thing.
It is the coolest thing because it's just a great day and it's a great setting and everyone is up and energetic and, you know, it's a great thing for the city, it's a great thing for the community, and, you know, you really get a chance to see a huge cross-section of the gay community all at once, and it's an honor to be asked to do events like that.
That must be great.
And then the weekend after that, I go to Madrid, which I think you've mentioned in your blog,
right.
For Madrid Pride, which I'm really, really excited about. That's going to be a great trip.
Spanish men are so hot.
Well, Madrid is just gorgeous. I've DJed there once before. I've gone there a couple of times personally, and I call it, you know, the Paris of Spain. It's just beautiful. And their gay pride, I think, is one of the largest in Europe.
That's correct. I've heard that.
I think they have about 1 million people at
my God.
The parade. So it's going to be good.
That sounds great. Listen, let me give you a little commercial. Frank's website is www.djfrankwild.com. You can catch up with him, find out where he's going to be in your area or travel close by. He's on Facebook at Frank Wild. He makes friends with everybody. How much time a week do you spend with your blog and your Facebook and your networking?
About a third of my time, I do my time in thirds. A third is like networking, social networking, PR, media. A third is looking for music,
mm-hmm.
either specifically for upcoming gigs or just in general. And a third is rehearsing and preparing for gigs. So I kind of block out my time that way, because I don't get really too bogged down in either one of them. So each day I kind of do, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours in each capacity, and then it seems to work out.
That's great. We have like 30 seconds left. This was the fastest half hour I have ever done, maybe because the music was in the background. any last words?
Thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk with you and your audience, and everyone just keep on dancing. And
okay.
That's the best thing for a DJ is to see people dance. So
you got it. Okay.
Keep it up.
Thanks, Frank, and good night. And thanks again. Remember, this is going to be archived for at least 3 years on this website. So if your friends missed it or your friends missed it, make sure that you can just go back to Stonewall Blog Talk Radio Stonewall, and look for Frank Wild. We'll be on there for 5 years. Thank you, Frank, and good night.
Thanks, Nate. Bye.